Recording has started.
All right, everybody, members of the media, thank you for joining us for our teleconference today regarding the end of the 2017 NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series that concluded at the Auto Club NHRA Finals last weekend in Pomona, California. During the course of a busy and exciting weekend, Brittany Force in Top Fuel, Robert Height in Funny Car, Bo Butner in Pro Stock, and Eddie Krawick were all crowned champions during the course of the race weekend. Joining us today, we will have Brittany Force, Top Fuel driver, and Eddie Krawick in Pro Stock Motorcycle. Unfortunately, due to last-minute travel constraints, Robert Height nor Bo Butner will be able to join us. We are working on quotes, updated quotes from them to include with the transcript that will be sent out later this afternoon, the transcript featuring the interviews with Brittany and Eddie. And please feel free to contact me or the team PR reps if you would like to schedule times to talk to Bo and Robert following this call or leading up to the course of the weekend. So, and members of the media, if you do have a question for Brittany or Eddie during the course of the call, please hit star one on your keypad to be brought into the queue. So we will start with Brittany Force, driver of the Monster Energy Top Fuel Dragster. She claims her first Top Fuel World Championship on Sunday during the quarterfinals and eliminations. This was the first time since 1982 that a female has captured an NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series Top Fuel World title. In her championship season, she raced to 4 wins, 2 runner-up finishes, and 2 number one qualifiers. Brittany, Sunday was obviously a tremendous day, quite a whirlwind. You go straight into the banquet on Monday evening. Has it all sunk in yet that you're the Top Fuel World Champion?
You know, I think it's finally starting to settle in because I've finally slowed down a little bit. Sunday was just a whirlwind. And, you know, locking down that championship was just huge. And then we went on and won the Pomona race, which that's my home track. So that's a big one for me. And it's the final race of the season. And then, yeah, we went straight into the banquet. So it's like time to stop and really think about it, take it all in. And I'm slowly weekend. It's just unreal. I can't, you know, I'm so proud of my Monster team, Alan Johnson, Brian Houston. Well, you know, we really pulled it off as a team, and I'm so proud of that.
You mentioned Brian and Alan with Alan's success, you know, at Pomona, some of the historic moments that he's had there. You know, going into the weekend, we talked to the press conference, you know, about your nerves and just wanting to get in there and to race. And how much of a calming influence has Alan been, you know, that weekend and then, you know, the past year and a half with you?
You know, Alan's been great to work with, both Alan and Brian. You know, just all season long, you know, they've really worked with me. They've really been patient. They've really helped me, I think, you know, improve as a driver. You know, there's weekends where I really struggled and got beat on hole shots. And, you know, the hardest was coming off that, you know, out of Vegas with a red light in the final. That was really tough because I felt like I just, you know, let everything slip through my fingers. You know, we were right there, you know, trying to get as close as we could in points to Torrance before going into Pomona. That was a tough one. But, you know, my team, my entire team, they always have my back. And, you know, for me, when I left Vegas, I had to put that red light behind me. I couldn't focus on that. I couldn't carry that, you know, into Pomona with where we were sitting, number two in points. You know, if we really wanted to lock down on this thing. So, you know, I had a handful of conversations with both Alan and Brian and, you know, what our approach was, what our plan was going into Pomona. And, you know, I'm so thankful to have a team like them. They're just, they've been amazing to work with. And what we pulled off just still seems so surreal.
Perfect. And members of the media, if you would like to ask a question to Brittany, please hit star one on your keypad. We will start with Steve Schoenfeld with Race Fan Radio. Steve, you may ask your question.
Congratulations on a great season and a way to wrap it up. All the drama and going into the race, what went through your mind when you realized, hey, this is in my grasp right now, All I have to do is get through this round, and I've got the championship sewn up.
You know, that was honestly going into Pomona Sunday morning. First round was way worse for me than you know, the second round. I don't know what it was. Something, it's like that, you know, any race weekend. For some reason, there's something about first round that just really gets at you. I was sick to my stomach over first round. And, you know, I tried to get rid of everything that happened in Vegas, but heading up there, it popped in my head a few times. If I, you know, the thought of a red light. And if that were to happen, you know, first round, it would just, I wouldn't have been able to deal with that. It would just be over for my whole team, you know, right there in the first round. So for me, once we got past that first round, I had that a little more confidence. I was ready. I was ready. I wanted to get back in my car because I knew we'd get past second round. I didn't know what was going to go on with Torrance. That team has been strong all year long. Honestly, I thought it would come down to us meeting in the semifinals. So, you know, sitting in my car, Torrance was running right in front of me. But when I was sitting in there, I couldn't focus on what he was doing in his car. Obviously, I just, you know, kind of looked down. I wasn't really paying attention. I could see the excitement going on, but my focus wasn't, I couldn't bring it to myself that, you know, he was out, and if I won this, we'd be the champion, because that was just too much pressure. Yeah, I knew it in the back of my head, and it got me that hype. It got me motivated. It got me, you know, pumped up a little bit. But if that was my focus, I don't know. It may have changed my driving. So for me, it was just, okay, it's just this round. Let's get past this round, and you know, we'll go from there. And that's always how I've been. My approach is, you know, one round at a time. If I look at the bigger picture, you know, I'm worried I'll get too distracted or, you know, focusing in the wrong area. So that's, you know, that's the approach I had to go into the whole thing.
After winning the championship and you're at the top end, you realize that you are winning the round. Now you realize that you've won the championship. Had a chance to talk to you on Thursday and how big a support your dad has been through all of this. What were the emotions when you got to give your dad a hug at the top end?
Oh, you know, climbing out of my car, it was like, I remember driving down to the end of the racetrack, I kept asking myself, like, did this really just happen? There's no way this happened. Like, I couldn't grasp it all. It just seemed too much, too big. And, you know, I waited down. I started to get emotional thinking about it all, and then Courtney got out on the top end, and she had tears in her eyes. Her helmet was still on. My dad got out. Same thing. He hugged me, and it was cool to share that moment with them. You know, both of them had just gotten out of their cars, and you could see they were just, you know, so excited, so proud, and you know, it was so cool that we shared that moment at the end of the racetrack.
Well, congratulations again. It was well-deserved, well-fought for, and hard work and dreams do pay off.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Steve. Members of the media, if you would like to ask a question of Brittany, please hit *1 on your keypad. Next up, we've got Stan Creekmore. Stan, you may ask your question.
Thank you. Brittany, number one, congratulations on what
thank
is
you.
An amazing situation. I remember speaking to your mother approximately 3 years ago, and her talking about how you didn't really want to get in and test a top fuel dragster, that that's what your dad wanted you to do, and you just didn't really want to do it. And she convinced you to do it, to take the step, and according to her, told you, if you don't like it, just get out. What
yeah,
did it,
my family's
what did, it, what did it mean
sorry, go ahead.
For you to see your mother after you won the championship?
Oh, you know, she's just my biggest supporter. She's had my back through everything. I mean, she watches us every single time we go down the racetrack. She's always right there. And, you know, she always takes our side when it comes to battles between my dad and I, so that's always really nice. But, you know, she's just the greatest supporter. She's watched us do it all. She even got into a super comp car and got licensed years ago just so she wanted to feel like she understand where we were coming from. So, I mean, that the fact that she went out and got licensed just so she could have, you know, deeper conversations with us and really, you know, get into what we were talking about and really understand, you know, you know, what we go through is pretty incredible. She's just the most amazing woman, and you know, having her out there, having her there to celebrate was just so great. She's the best mom out there.
Now, in addition, what does it mean to you to be the first of his daughters to win a championship? Because all of you have tried, and you are the mm-hmm. first. What does that mean?
It's pretty big. But for me, you know, people always want to put my sisters and I, you know, compare everything we've done. And for me, it's more. We want to achieve. And for me, it's not about, you know, trying to do it first or beat them at it, because we all support each other. I support them, and I always have their back. But, you know, that was huge, a championship. I mean, Ashley's, you know, won Indy. Courtney's won, you know, tons of races. And you know, it took me longer to get the ball rolling on things. But we also had a top fuel car in our funny car pit. So it was definitely a challenge. But to bring home a championship, I never imagined that. That just, it seemed too big of an accomplishment to ever reach. Not that I didn't think my team could do it. It's just, it's one of those things that is a dream. You don't know if you'll ever get there. And, you know, I've watched my dad do it so many times, so he's been so much help throughout this whole thing. But, you know, having my sisters out there, having their support, I'm very lucky, very blessed.
And one final question. If I remember properly, you still enjoy seeing young kids in schools, because you were going to be a teacher and, mm-hmm. and you were going to, you know, be active with young kids, and you still are. Is there a class that you're looking forward to going to and seeing those faces?
You know, I went to school to be a teacher, I mean, years ago. I mean, when you're younger, you change your mind 100 times about what you want to do career-wise. And it was really when I finally got into a top fuel car and made my first full pass down the racetrack, that's when I knew what I wanted to do career-wise. And I fell in love with the car. I was just absolutely hooked. But, you know, if you would have asked me 10 years ago if I'd ever be driving a top fuel car, I would have said, you know, there's no way. I drove Super Comp. I drove A-Fuel. And for me, you know, I really loved A-Fuel. And I thought that's where I would stay. I just, for me, looking at, you know, these guys that go 330 miles per hour, I just thought they were absolutely nuts. But, you know, I got the bug. When I got in the thing, I fell in love with it. And, you know, but, yeah, obviously when I was younger, I went to school to you know, I wanted to be a teacher. I ended up getting my credential. I love working with kids. And one of the cool parts about my job is that, you know, we have so many kids that come up to the ropes and, you know, ask for autographs, ask for pictures. A bunch of them ask for advice on, you know, how to get into drag racing, and that's pretty cool. And as much as we can, you know, my sisters and I, my dad as well, we do career days. Anything where I could go back to, you know, a school that, you know, I used to teach at, or a school I was involved with, you know, if we have a free day and, you know, we're not out on the road, I'm always down to do that, and that's so much fun.
Thank you very much, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Dan. Again, members of the media, please hit *1. Brittany, one other question. You know, now your name will go in the history books next to, you know, obviously Shirley Muldowney, Angel Sampe, Erica Enders, being only the fourth overall female to win a NHRA title in the professional ranks. I know when you're in it, looking at numbers and looking at, you know, ranking history is hard, but, you know, has that part of it also kind of given you pause where, you know, I mean, your name, like I said, will be cemented right up against all of those others?
Again, I don't think it's settled in. Like, I feel like I haven't even had a moment to really even just go through my phone and you know, look up on social media, look at all the photos. I haven't even watched the show yet. And, you know, my parents and I are going to sit down and you know, watch the show in the next few nights. But I feel like it still hasn't sunk in. And once I finally do that, once I relive it all, rewatch it all, I think it'll really settle in. But, I mean, to take home that title of championship, again, I never thought we'd make it here. It's just, it's so big of an accomplishment. I mean, it's what every team fights for, but the competition out there is so tough. I mean, it's like, how do you get around those other cars, those other teams? But, you know, to have my name up there, you know, share a title like that with my dad and Robert and, you know, so many people in the sport that I've looked up to my entire life. That's a huge accomplishment, something I'm very proud of, and I still can't believe it all.
And then one last question, and I think Eddie Kravick has joined us, so we'll get with him. You mentioned social media. Were there any interesting, tweets that you got from, you know, other drivers in other series or people that kind of surprised, maybe you were a little bit surprised, or have you been able to catch up with all of that?
No, I really haven't. I've kind of scrolled through Instagram and, seen some photos. I haven't even posted anything myself since Sunday. We literally have not stopped. And Monday was the banquet, obviously. But yesterday, my team and I drove up to Santa Barbara area to get together with our whole team and Alan Johnson and kind of celebrate everything. So, I'll be heading home later today. But, again, we haven't stopped. So I can't wait to go through and look at everything, see everything. And finally, I want to post some stuff. I'm so excited. I'm so proud of my entire team. And, I can't wait to put that out there.
Perfect. Well, great. And Eddie, have you joined us?
Yes, I have.
Okay, perfect. Well, Brittany, we'll let you go. Try to catch your breath a little bit. And, again, congratulations. Thanks for your time. We'll see you in Pomona in February.
Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, Brittany. And, Eddie, thank you for joining us. And first off, as always, congratulations on your fourth championship.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Eddie was able to wrap up his championship, his first since 2012, during qualifying, or by simply qualifying. Well, I guess it's never simple to qualify for a race, but by qualifying for the event in Pomona. During the year, Eddie rode to 7 victories, including the season opening win at the Gator Nationals and also his second Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals win. He also raced to 2 runner-up finishes and had 6 number one qualifying positions. And media, please hit *1 if you'd like to ask Eddie a question. Eddie, I think you talked a little bit about it Saturday night, that each championship is a little different, different meanings, different reasons why they're special. What does this fourth championship mean to you?
Well, the first thing is it was great to only have to do it in qualifying, because for me that was a lot better than the past years where there were so many different scenarios of what could happen. And I would take having to qualify any day to secure it. But, this championship, one of the most unique things about it, and yes, I've talked about it, was the fact that I think our team was a little more united had a greater effort to get there. And what I mean by that is we switched motorcycles after the third race of the year. Going into the fourth race of the year, we made the big change. We basically introduced a whole new motorcycle, being the Harley-Davidson Street Rod. And during the release of that, we also figured because we were debuting a new body, it would be smart of us to debut with a new chassis. So we put a whole new chassis together. We figured this was going to be the newest state-of-the-art pro stock motorcycle, and it was, I believe. The big struggle was the chassis didn't kind of work out the way that we wanted it to, and we struggled as a team. We through the middle part of the season, I would say we struggled, obviously, to win the championship. But the great thing about the way that the countdown is you kind of can afford to, let's just say, have a slow part of the year or a less successful time in the middle part of the year and still have that opportunity to race for a championship. And we knew all that going into the beginning of the year, and that is why we chose to do what we did. And it really made us dig deep and look at areas of our motorcycle. When we were struggling with the chassis setup, it really made us dig deep and look for areas of the motorcycle that we usually wouldn't look at because we've had good success. And then when we actually switched back because our chassis that we were using didn't work, We switched back to our old chassis with the new street rod bodywork on it. It really showed us how to refine what we had and made us just that much better. Andrew kind of took over tuning roles. Matt took over the chassis role, and I kind of was a floater guy in between and working on motorcycles to get stuff done. And man, it's just made us so much better. And I really do believe that's going to only make us better down the road and continue to grow.
How big of a leap of faith is that? A, to bring out, you know, a new chassis, and then B, to be able to cut the cord on it, if you will, and then and go back to a different style. I mean, that's got to be, you know, pretty nerve-wracking for you guys over there.
Absolutely. I mean, to be quite honest, we thought it was going to be easy. You know, we're going to build this new bike, and we're going to go race it, and we're going to have great success. Well, it proved us wrong, and it really makes you, it humbles you is probably the best way to say it. And don't get me wrong. I mean, we had a great year. We had good success with that motorcycle. We just didn't have the success that we wanted. It won a race. It actually won Denver, which is one of the hardest races to go and compete at, but it also takes a different level running up there. You have to have a different understanding on how to tune the motorcycle and a way different approach. But I think the greatest thing about it is it made us a little more humble here because it realized we don't know everything. You know, there's no such time that you should ever think you know it all. And we have great resources and a lot of good people behind us and in our shop that work here. And it showed all of us we made a mistake and the chassis was not correct. And we had to go back and correct those changes. Unfortunately for us, we didn't have the right amount of time to do it, so we reverted back to our old bike. But something that I do want to mention that I think is worth mentioning, we kind of, although we were running our old bikes, we were still working and developing another chassis. So we went through, got that chassis finished. We tested right after Las Vegas this year. The bike ran well. And then we figured, well, it was a great opportunity to run it in Pomona. And the way that we ran it in Pomona, we actually brought aboard a third rider, which was Chip Ellis. And it was kind of perfect timing because, unfortunately, Chip was racing for Junior Pippen, who just passed away. And, you know, we wanted to bring Chip aboard for two reasons. One, to gain some data and information, and the other was to kind of do a little bit of a tribute to the Junior Pippen Racing because his program had to stop and get put on the side why they tended to Junior's health conditions. And really, we wanted to try to end the year and put a smile on his face. And we went to Pomona, and we qualified all three motorcycles, 1, 2, and 3, something that's never happened. So to have a Harley in all three top positions meant a lot to us. And Chip was right there, and it proves that our new rendition of chassis, which we'll probably phase into for next year, is going to work. So we were excited about that. And really, it was one of the top in 60 foots and incrementals going down the track. So we're definitely excited. And what we have is already proven. So we're going to continue to work on it over the winter.
Perfect. Stan Creekmore, you may ask your question of Eddie.
Thank you. Eddie, number one, congratulations.
Thanks, Stan.
Number two, speak, if you will, about the fact that you have two first-timers this year who are sharing the podium with you. Do you take a look at what everyone else is doing? Do you even have the time to do that as you're gunning for a championship?
Well, for us, yeah, it's good to know your surroundings and it's good to know what's going on. But to be quite honest, we try to stay focused with everything in our trailer, you know, is the best way to say it. Because if we start looking on the outside, then you get distracted. You kind of got to keep your head down and keep moving forward. But I would say as a whole in the pro stock motorcycle category, when you look at it, there's some great racing happening. There's a bunch of good individuals, and there were some new people in the countdown, Joey Gladstone, Angie Smith, and others, and it's just, for me, the championship side of it for this year also, and something that I didn't mention, it's just, it's very gratifying because the competition being very close, we won, yes, 8 races and had really good results all season long. But when you look at the level of competition and how we're going against it, I feel for the countdown. I've had my handful of lucky rounds, and I mean lucky rounds by rounds that I just flat out should have never won. And either it was given to me by a red light or somebody else made a mistake, and man, things just rolled my way. So it's awesome, and it makes me smile, but more important, with the level of competition, 15 years ago in the category where there was what I'd like to say is pure dominance, where you'd have 2 or 3 bikes that were light years ahead, a tenth of a second ahead of everybody. Now, when you're qualifying hundreds or even thousands apart from each other, when you look at the top 4 or 5 usually at every race, we're all within a hundredth, and that makes for great racing on Sunday.
Okay, so since you mentioned it, what was the one moment this year when you thought, this is the luckiest I have ever been? When you,
I'm going to tell you that.
Instead of walking home, you...
No, and I'm going to tell you. The exact moment that was it was actually Las Vegas when Angel Sampei went red to me because I had a broke motorcycle in the other lane pretty much. And popped the clutch, left the starting line, and my tire rattled, and then it hurt the transmission, and it wouldn't shift gears, and my wind light was on. That round there was the round Ellie went out right in front of me, and I mean Ellie won, and
yeah.
by that happening, it gave me the opportunity to at least maintain my points. So then I went up there, race Scotty Polachek. I watched Ellie go out in front of me, and I was like, wow, good thing I got by this round because that just saved me 20 points. So no matter what happens from this point forward, I'm going to Pomona with a 110-point lead with possibly only 120 available in eliminations, not counting the 16 or so qualifying points, because I figured we can at least battle it back and forth, and then I would only have to go 1 or 2 rounds in Pomona to solidify the championship. I like my odds with having to go at least 1 round. So
right.
I was able to capitalize on that after he went out, go on and win the race, which pretty much locked it up, and I went to Pomona knowing our championship was pretty much in my eyes locked up in that final round when I turned that corner and saw the wind light from beating Hector Jr. in Las Vegas. I knew it. I was like, all I got to do is qualify. Not that I was counting points as I'm going down the track, but I'm like, all I got to do is qualify, and this is awesome. So that would be my luckiest race, I'd tell you, all year long.
Wow. Well, congratulations to you. And I understand that you all work as hard or harder than any of the athletes over there at the NHRA and actually in any sport whatsoever. So congratulations on your win.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Dan. And then, again, Eddie, kind of as I ask Brittany, it's so hard when you're in it to look at numbers and look at history. But, I mean, so that's why we do this. So
that's good, because I'm really bad with numbers.
So right now, you're third on the all-time Pro Stock motorcycle win list, only behind your teammate Andrew and Dave Schultz. You're also one of only a few drivers to win 4 championships, you know, joining names like Don Prudhomme, Gary Selzy, Greg Anderson, and Lee Sheppard. So where do you think that puts you, you know, within history, or is it just kind of, are you still kind of amazed to hear your name up against some of those other drivers?
You know, to be totally honest about that, you're talking to a guy that when I came aboard to the Vance and Hines Harley-Davidson team back in 2007, I had a goal, and my goal was to win 1 Wally. Really, my inspiration for Pro Stock Motorcycles started in 2005 when I met Dave Schultz at Englishtown. And I'm sorry, 1995, I should say, when I met Dave Schultz at Englishtown at the Summer Nationals. I delivered a package to him. I came to his trailer, dropped off a package because I used to work at the racetrack there at Raceway Park. And when I wasn't racing or when I wasn't there hanging around, I would help out at the Summer Nationals. And I actually was helping the UPS guys and delivering package because I knew who a lot of the drivers were. And I brought a package to Dave Schultz, spoke with him for a little while, became a huge fan of Pro Stock Motorcycle. Actually, after that weekend, I went out and bought a street bike and turned it into a race bike, and that's when I started my racing career on motorcycles. But Dave went on, won that race. When Dave passed away, I actually became a family friend of Dave's wife, Meredith, and his son, Brian, at the time. And when Dave passed away, I got a box delivered to Englishtown. Didn't know what it was, opened it up, and it was Dave's 1995 Summer Nationals win, Wally. And his wife sent that to me because she knew it meant something. And I always had it on my desk. It always went to my, you know, sat in my room on my desk, and it was a reminder. And I eventually phased into trying to run Pro Stock Motorcycle on my own, and I did it with Dave's son, Brian, until he unfortunately lost his life in a traffic accident. And that kind of put a toll on the whole thing. But it gave me more drive to go out there and succeed. And I wanted to do it for not just myself, but Dave and his son, Brian, and everybody along the way. And I had this Wally, and I just wanted to have one of my own. And when I came aboard the Harley-Davidson team, I did great the first year, went out the second year, started running really well, never won a Wally, but won a championship. And it kind of blew my mind because here I am standing here with a championship trophy, but no Wally yet. And I really just wanted a Wally. And now coming back at the end of it to say you've got 43 fighting to be one of the top finishers ever with Wallys in Pro Stock Motorcycle, four championships later and 43 race wins, is it just blows my mind. And to be on a list of individuals like you said just a few minutes ago is it's very humbling, because honestly, I've never forgotten my past and I haven't forgotten where I've come from. And I think that is the most, the most important thing to making your past part of your future. Because if you're so focused on what's going on, you'll never remember all those wins and how you got there.
Perfect. Great. Well, thank you very much, Eddie. I think that'll wrap up the call. So, again, congratulations once again on your championship. Thank you for joining us. And,
thank you.
And we'll see you guys in Gainesville.
Perfect. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And thanks for covering Meliola Drag Racing.
Perfect. Thank you, members of the media, also for joining us. A transcript of this call will be sent out later this afternoon, plus the audio recording will be found on the NHRA media page. Thanks. Have a great season, great rest of the year. Happy holidays, and we'll see you in 2018.